Okay, first I want to thank the mayor. The mayor put me in contact with the author of this sefer. Okay, the sefer Lashon HaKodesh, History, Holiness in Hebrew by Rabbi Reuven Chaim Klein. I got an email from him. He heard that we're using the sefer in the shir. He was very curious to hear what we had to say. Well, how many copies?
Is he coming?
Is he coming? He lives in Eretz Yisrael. He lives in Eretz Yisrael and okay, let's we, Baruch Hashem, we had a very nice correspondence with him, and we have tremendous hakaras hatoyv to him for his beautiful work. Let's continue discussing some of the themes in this sefer. Now, one thing I wanted to bring out, he mentions the transition of Hebrew into Aramaic. What does this mean? We know that Tanakh, the Chasimas HaTanakh, everything was still, at least the writing was still Hebrew. The Ksuvim were written in Hebrew. The style, obviously, of Ksuvim is not the same style as Nevi'im and not the same style as Chamish Chumshei Torah, but nevertheless, it's in a pretty pure form of Lashon HaKodesh. With the exception, of course, of Ezra and Nehemiah, where parts of it are written Aramaic. And Daniel is in Aramaic. And when you go forward in history, we come to the next major work was the Mishnayis. Rabbeinu HaKadosh codified the Shisha Sidre Mishnah. And the big mystery, the big question is, what language exactly is the language of Mishnayis? It's not a pure Hebrew. There are many words. Now, I'm not all knowledgeable. I'm just trying to bring out some ideas that he mentions here. It's not a pure Lashon HaKodesh. There are many words that appear in Mishnayis that do not appear in Tanakh. And the grammar, the style of writing, is also a bit different. So you see that, but yet it's ruba de ruba from what we can perceive. It's Lashon HaKodesh.
The thought process is it was supposed to be cryptic. In other words, he didn't write it easy to understand on purpose, because it was Lashon.
But the vocabulary.
It was still droid, you to need a rep.
But the vocabulary is still like there are certain words that were selected, but seemingly we could have selected words that appear in Chamish Chumshei Torah. And the style, even though it's cryptic, the style is a bit different. So, and then when we go further, after the closing of the Mishnah, you go into the Talmud. The Talmud was written purely in Aramaic. So basically what it seems to be is there's a transition. There's a transition, there's a transition of language. There was the pure Lashon HaKodesh of Chamish Chumshei Torah. Nevi'im, there was also some transition in the style of the style of writing in the language of the Nevi'im, to the Ksuvim, to the Mishnah, and then to the Talmud, which is completely Aramaic, which is pure Aramaic. The Rambam, though, what's very interesting, and this is something which really the Rambam, when he wrote his Mishnah Torah, it's in Hebrew. It's in a pure Lashon HaKodesh. So how does the Rambam, Rishon, when he wrote the major work, this was written not in Aramaic, it was written Lashon HaKodesh to the people who used the Rambam, to study the Rambam, the people, the audience for whom the Rambam wrote Mishnah Torah, what was their common language?
Arabic.
So it's very interesting. The common spoken language was Arabic.
Not Aramaic.
Well, not Aramaic, because you're running in Eretz Yisrael or in Egypt. Not Aramaic. Not Lashon Kodesh. It clearly wasn't Lashon Kodesh. That doesn't seem to be the language they spoke. Yet he wrote Mishnah Torah in Lashon HaKodesh. And what does that tell us? Who lived during the time of the Rambam, the Paitonim, and go back a little bit earlier, the time of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, which is really going back a lot further back, but there's still some overlap of those who formulated the Nusach HaTzvila. The Nusach HaTfilot Ruba D'Ruba is in Lashon HaKodesh. It's not in Arabic. It's not in Aramaic. It's not in Greek. It's not in Latin. It's not, certainly not in English. So it's very interesting. We see over here this thing which comes out, I think it comes out in many different places, which today we are completely removed from. We mentioned this idea last week, and it's an important idea that when we discuss language, is that in ancient times, and even not such ancient times, there was a very great divide between the language that was used for written communication and oral communication. When you spoke in one language, and when you write in a different language. When you daven, davening was really from a form of what was written. It was a text that was written. So you're taking from that text and you're using it to daven to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That was Lashon HaKodesh. But when you would communicate with your friend, correspondence, or speak, was Arabic, Aramaic, was another language. Today, that's not the way the world works. Today, if you speak in English, you write in English. If you speak in Hebrew, you write in Hebrew. Today,
there's a difference between the spoken word and the written word.
There's a difference in accuracy. In accuracy.
And understanding of the meaning, because you have the person there in front of you.
Okay, but it's different. Just different in the style of speech. But the language, the vocabulary... The vocabulary is the same. People who are considered to be good speakers is because they have a better vocabulary. And even the people that do not have a good vocabulary, you sometimes be very shocked that when they write and they have time to put their thoughts down on paper, they're very eloquent. And the vocabulary is 10 times greater than their spoken word. But they would wish, they would strive, if they had the ability, their mind could operate that very quickly, they would wish they could speak the same way they would write.
Yeah, but I don't speak as to thee the same way that I would speak.
In America, go back 100 years, that's how they spoke.
That's right.
They spoke like that. When you go to court, the spoken language was identical to the old style of writing English. So this phenomenon was this true in other countries? It seems this was unique to Klal Yisrael. That's the impression that I get, which is very fascinating. That this appears to be something unique to Klal Yisrael, that in Klal Yisrael, the spoken language was not the same as the written language. In other cultures, other countries, other cultures, it requires further eon. It appears that it's all the same. It's something now. This, though, that you should know, has resurfaced in modern times. Because in Eretz Yisrael, which we'll discuss in a few moments, in Eretz Yisrael today, the spoken language is modern Hebrew. Modern Hebrew is a distant cousin, a very distant cousin of Lashon HaKodesh.
I know a few times when I speak to my relatives in Eretz Yisrael, they say, Atem medaber ivrit shel Shabbat.
So Shabbat? What does that mean?
From Shabbat. From Shabbat.
Okay.
Ani lo tachas omed.
Okay, but today this has resurfaced. Now, even among the Haredi world, which we'll discuss in a little bit, today in Eretz Yisrael, it is the minhag to speak modern Hebrew. And they speak a rapid fire. If you ever go to Eretz Yisrael, they speak a rapid fire modern Hebrew. My brother lives in Eretz Yisrael, so he says the test for the Olim, those who make Aliyah, to know when they really have come into the country, is if they can listen to the radio,
right,
and they can understand what's being said. You listen to the radio. The radio, they talk rapid fire Hebrew. If you can really understand what they're saying, then it means you really become part.
At the beginning, the Christian Bible was written in Aramaic.
Right, exactly.
There's a quote in the Gemara Shabbos, quote to Zion on the Bays, a quote from Matthew. Of the Christian Bible in Aramaic.
We in the Gemara?
Gemara Kuf Tes Zion Amud Bey.
Chapter and verse. Okay.
Good old man.
Now in Eretz Yisrael there is this very interesting divine. This really was one of the issues why people tried very hard to prevent the advancement of modern Hebrew. many Haredim, when they daven, they're talking about the Haredi community, when they daven in the traditional Nusach of Ashkenaz, where they differentiate between a Sof and a Tov, and a Beis and a Veis, and there's a Komatz and a Pachat. The davening, there's a very significant group of people in Eretz Yisrael, when they daven and when they learn, when they daven and they learn, they daven and learn in the traditional way that their grandparents spoke in Poland, and in Poland and Europe and all and in the past. But when they speak to their friend, they speak in modern Hebrew. Now, for us in America, that's very common, but the line is divided in a much greater form. We speak to each other in English, but when we daven, only when we daven, we daven the Nusach HaTzvilah. So it's not such a big deal. But when you're dealing, this is what's so very, very, very difficult, which people thought would be difficult, which turns out is not difficult. When modern Hebrew was, when the state was founded, and even go back before the state was founded, when there was a push for the use, the widespread use of modern Hebrew, there were those that strongly objected to the use of modern Hebrew because it would confuse people when they would daven. When you're going to daven and when you're going to learn, you're going to be using Lashon Kodesh, the holy Lashon, and you're going to speak in modern Hebrew. Being that modern Hebrew and Lashon Kodesh are very similar, they're cousins, they're very, very similar, it's very likely there's going to be confusion, and it's going to corrupt the way, the traditional way of learning from the Torah, of davening for the Omer, the Nusach HaTzvila. And therefore there was a very strong opposition to, if you would speak in German, or you would speak in Yiddish, or you would speak in English, then English, Yiddish, and German have absolutely nothing in common with Lashon HaKodesh. No. So then there's not going to be any mistake, any potential for mistake to daven in Lashon HaKodesh, and to speak to your friend in German, Yiddish, or Arabic, or Aramaic, or English, is no concern. But once you're going to introduce into the culture, the language, Lashon HaKodesh, and the Lashon HaKodesh is so similar to davening, this was fear. There was a very great fear among the Haredi world that this would be a very big halachic problem. Because if you daven with the Havara of Ashkenaz Havara, and you start speaking in davening or going to a minyan with a davening in the Havara of the Sfardit, that can be potentially problematic in some people's view. However, this has turned out, this was a fear which turned out to not be a problem whatsoever. Today, my brother who lives in Eretz Yisrael, he told me that no one has this problem. Today, it's extremely common among the Haredi world that they can speak a fluent, rapid-fire modern Hebrew, and without the blinking of an eyelash, have no difficulty whatsoever, like an American, to daven in the traditional Ashkenazi Havara, to lay in an Ashkenazi Havara. Kila, you're an American, and you wouldn't. There's no problem going from one to the other. So this, that was a fear, turned out was not an issue at all whatsoever. Now let's just take a step back. Who was the one that invented the Hebrew language? The Hebrew language was invented. The modern Hebrew language was the one that gets credit was a person by the name of Ben Yehuda. Yes. Ben Yehuda grew up in Poland, in Lithuania. In Lithuania, he was a from a Shom Shabbos home. He was sent to learn in traditional yeshivas. He came from a very fine home. And Rachman Litzlan, as many others in his time, he was influenced by the Haskalah, and he went off the derech. And he became single-handedly, probably, you can do some research, it's a very fascinating story with Ben Yehuda. He had a very intense obsession with insisting that the new country, the new Medina, the official language should be modern Hebrew. The original founders of Zionism were very happy that the official language should be German, even Yiddish. I think Herzl, Theodor Herzl, I think he wanted that it should be...
I already knew German.
He wanted it, but what about the official language of the State of Israel? What should be their official language? It was before it was Islam, but he already he not only did he live to see the state, he died before that.
What?
He didn't live.
Born in 1906, he died in 1904.
But he basically single-handedly gets credit for the fact that today the language is not in Hebrew. It was his doing, 100%. When he came to the country, whenever it was in the late 19th century, no one there spoke Hebrew. No one. There wasn't even one person who spoke Hebrew. And he proved to the world that you can do it. And he knew, now the problem, there were many problems. First of all,
spoke German.
Everyone spoke German or even other languages. What? Yiddish, German. There was some, he writes something. There was once the school where they had a student, everyone in their area were immigrants during the time of the war, during World War I, before that, when in the school, the students, there were 13 languages. The students, the collection of students they had, they needed to find one common language to teach the children. And the students, among them all, had, everyone had a different language, so it became very difficult. But he pushed it with an obsession, and the problem was there were not enough words. Lashon HaKodesh has a very limited number of words.
Right.
And he invented many, many words, and he pushed it, and he himself, when he would meet a person in the street, would only speak to him in Hebrew, and people had a hard time, what are you talking about? I don't know, who are you talking about? And then when they realized he was talking in Hebrew, he basically trained people to speak in Hebrew. There are funny stories of how his child insisted that his child should only hear Hebrew in the home. He spoke to his wife in Hebrew, and he demanded that the child should not hear any Ben Yehuda. Ben Yehuda.
That wasn't his real name, Ben Yehuda.
Right, it's not, it was an off. Change his name.
Right.
He was an interesting person. You have to do research. You type in his name. You type in his name on Google. There are some very interesting articles.
There was a vice with him in the Maril Diskin.
Yeah.
He was complaining with the Maril Diskin. Why isn't it that everybody uses Hebrew?
Yeah.
If they're all Lashon Kodesh and everything.
Well, it was necessary.
The Maril Diskin told him the truth is there's a lot of things, for instance, that you do. For example, yayin. You need kiddush for yayin. But if Moshe Yisrael touches it, you can't use it. And he got very, very angry. He said, Zeh kol shtusim. And Reb Blazer,
that's wrong.
He said,
yeah.
No.
Who said this?
I believe it's this. Because he came from Lithuania. He himself, his mama Loshin was Yiddish. He was a Moscow. So now here was the main opposition. The main opposition to the it's a miracle. You read the story. It's only you see the koach of what one person can do. Today in Eretz Yisrael there are about 7 million Jews.
Yes.
There are between 6 to 7 million Jews. The vast majority of them speak a rapid-fire modern Hebrew. This is the result, the doing of one person.
What was his real name?
I don't know his real name. He was known as Ben Yehuda. One person's obsession, an intense obsession, succeeded in convincing the founders of the state that they should adopt, that first that should be in use, and they should adopt as the official language modern Hebrew. Now you have to understand, this is a very Zionistic idea, because traditionally in the world, in order for you to be considered a major player, the Gemara really talks about this, it's not just a nation needs a land. A nation needs a land, and a nation needs a language, a unique language. What kind of punim would it have for the state of Israel? What kind of legitimacy, he felt, would it be for a new state of Israel to be a state recognized as one of the nations of the world with a language of German? A language where everyone is speaking German. That's the official language. Or the language is Yiddish. Or the other candidates. What kind of tsur would it have? In the history of the world, a nation needs its own language. And the truth is, Klal Yisrael does. The language that Klal Yisrael has is Lashon HaKodesh. And if we're not going to use Lashon HaKodesh because we feel that it only should be reserved for holy things, then the next thing to use the language should be Aramaic. That should be Aramaic. Now, both of these languages were not candidates because Lashon HaKodesh, the language was too small. language does not have enough words for a modern country. And Aramaic was outdated. Aramaic was somehow not popular. The Kurds? A real Aramaic? Okay, but Aramaic was not a language that he was very happy with, and he, with his obsessed, intense obsession, he invented...
Yeah, but today it's...
Okay, he invented modern Hebrew. Now, the main opposition the Gedolei Yisrael had to the adaptation of Lashon Kodesh as the national language, the language of choice to be spoken in the Shi, was you are desanctifying something which is inherently holy. If you want to preserve the true Lashon HaKodesh, okay, that you can debate. Maybe it's not proper to take something that is sacred and to use it to talk about politics, to talk what's going on in the world. That you can debate. But modern Hebrew is not Lashon Kodesh. Modern Hebrew, Ben Yehuda was not a religious Jew. By choice, he was not a religious Jew. And he... Perelman? Perelman. And by choice, there was a desanctification, a distortion of many holy words which grated the nerves of the Haredi world. For example, probably the most classic, right, the most classic example which really touched upon the entire issue of what the opposition was, the word chashmal. Chashmal was the word for electricity. Electricity didn't exist in the time of the Torah. So a new word needed to be invented. There are probably more... Okay, that's another example. There are many examples, but chashmal was the word which grated the nerves of... In Yecheskel saw the Malachim. Chashmal was an image of one of the Malachim. The Malachim, a divine revelation. It is a word which, on a very simple level, you can debate. Maybe it does not really mean anything holy in the past, but on a very simple level, it represents a very great degree of intense holiness, the Shechina. To take the word Chashmal, a word which is Kodesh Kadoshim, represents the secrets of creation, the image of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, his malachim, and to use it as something mundane as a light bulb, as electricity, grated the nerves of the Haredi world. This is just one example. Every single word, many, probably hundreds, not thousands of words, which had the same idea. It was a word that was holy and was used in common language for something very secular. Sometimes there was distortion, sometimes there was no distortion, but it was a desanctification of something very holy. And therefore,
it was a way of, without inventing words out of nowhere.
Right, exactly. Well, that's what
rooted
in the Lashon HaKodesh. So that was his approach. We have to understand he was a maskil, and you have to understand that the Haredim, the animosity between the religious Jew, and the Chashmal was there were wars. And if you study the history, you lose to some of these things. There was violence. There was horrible violence that broke out due to this conflict. And there was major opposition. Now, in his Sefer, he says something very fascinating. The one that really gets the credit for the fact that today it's not an issue, it's a dead issue, and 90% of the Haredi world has given up and has come 100% embraced modern Hebrew, despite all of the faults and all of the problems and the desanctification and all of the everything which goes along with it, is none other than the Chazon Ish. He attributes the Chazon Ish's influence and stature. The Chazon Ish says, let's not make this an issue. The Chazon Ish, they were certain yeshivas, they started new yeshivas, and they asked him what should be the language, and he told them to teach modern Hebrew. They said, we're going to teach a modern Hebrew, we're going to lose big donations. He said, so you lose the donations. It's Kedai. It was his influence. It's an amazing thing. The Chazon Ish is probably to be credited then.
Zonnefeld.
Yeah, he didn't agree. Did he agree?
He said later, afterwards, that if he would have known, he wouldn't have made such a strong
Yemacha against it
about
because of the Chazon Ish.
But he was before the Chazon Ish.
So the Chazon Ish, you know, you can say it was the greatest Zionist. They have to, it's not a joke, because one of the distinguishing features of the state of Israel, modern Zionism, you have a land, you have a culture, you have a language. No one can deny that Ben Yehuda is on the mark when you talk about the fact that a country, a nation, needs a language. language. You have to have the Gemara, Gemara. You need language. Rome was considered, what was it? Rome was considered a language, a country. They stole everything from someone else. But the Chazon Ish was the one that said it's a lost battle. Don't make an issue over it. Embrace it. Use it. And his opinion has been accepted, and that's why today in Eretz Yisrael, in the vast majority of the Haredi yeshivas, and even among the Hasidim, not all of them, but the good most of them, they do not shy away from embracing modern Hebrew with all of its shortcomings, and that's the world we live in today. That's
a lot of the yeshivas don't know Hebrew. They don't know Yiddish. They don't.
Of course, right. That's the influence of the Chazanish. If the Chazanish would have taken a hard line and would have said, you have to teach in Yiddish, guarantee Eretz Yisrael today would be a very different country.
But even in America, when did the yeshiva switch from Yiddish to English?
Rav Soloveitchik was the one that made that move. He's credited.
Until the
70s was a Yiddish. Yes, Rav Soloveitchik made, Aaron Rakafet, who always makes the point, is that it was a major, we don't appreciate, it's impossible for us to appreciate the switch, when he switched to giving his shiurim in English, the repercussions. The whole yeshiva world, even though the YU was always in a category by itself, when he started giving his shiurim in English, everyone started thinking twice. It changed people's ways, the way of thinking of what should be the language of choice to teach Torah. Eretz Yisrael in modern Hebrew, in America in English, and that's the world we live in today. Okay, we'll stop here.